Well, I appreciate the good singing and the good testimonies and the good teaching in the Sunday school. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How important it is that we have the Word of God opened and preached to us. I was thinking of Brother J.C. I guess it's probably 18 or more years ago I started coming to Harriman Baptist Tabernacle and was privileged to meet Brother J.C. and the time of fellowship we had from time to time. And here's what he said to my wife. One of the last times we were here, he said, I pray for you every day. And such an humbling thought of anybody that would pray every day for you. I cherish the memories. Amen. Dr. Robert Taylor's first wife, who died of cancer, was speaking to a ladies' group in Wakulla Springs, Florida. And she made a statement to the ladies. And here was a statement. She said, ladies, store up your memories. And I think it'd be good for Harriman Baptist Tabernacle to store up your memories. Grateful for the testimony of Brother J.C. and for his life and influence. And it still is on. Amen. I have an assignment this morning. If you'd open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, the very last chapter. Matthew chapter 28. And I want to share a few thoughts this morning. This has been a different world over the last year or so. And things have been restricted. And we've been kind of shut down in so many areas. But I think maybe that we have allowed the restrictions physically to affect us spiritually. And I want to say God's still God. Bible's still the Bible. And we're still accountable for what God said in the book. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. I'm going to put in at verse 16. Verse 16, I read through the remainder of the chapter. The Bible said, then, that's an important word, then. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I want to preach on God's redeeming mission. And I'll be using more out of that chapter than what I've read. But the mission is not a suggestion. It is a command. We are commanded to take the gospel to every creature. That hasn't changed. And so it is it's not a choice, it's a command that we're to take the gospel to every creature. Would you bow? Heavenly Father, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to stand here this morning. And Lord, I'm very conscious of the fact that I'm not sufficient of myself to think anything of myself, but my sufficiency is of Thee. I ask you by faith to fill me with your Spirit. I pray, dear Lord, that you might magnify the Lord Jesus. And I pray that you would help this to be profitable time. Bless the Nelson family. Comfort them as only God in heaven can. And I pray that you would bless the memorial service. And may you get maximum glory. Maybe even through the influence and the testimony, some lost soul will come to know Christ, the personal Savior. We thank you for your promises and for your presence. Have your will and way in our lives. We ask for Jesus' sake, and for his sake alone we pray. Amen. Brother Stent Ballou made this statement years ago. He said, I want to do what I can while I can, so that when I cannot, I'll not wish I would have when I could have. And so the matter of doing what we can, I'm afraid we're behind in that department, doing what we can. Here's a mountain emphasis, and the emphasis of kingly grace. And by means of the gospel message, he's bringing many to glory. And by the way, if you're saved today, it is by grace through faith. And it's not that you got saved because you thought it was a good idea. It's the Spirit of God that came to you and wooed you to the Savior. And then you made a choice. You trusted Him as you pray. And it's all by the good grace of God. But some of them said, the gospel of Christ came to you going to someone else. How important it is for us to realize that we are personally responsible to get the gospel to every creature. Amen. I was born again June 14th, 1960, and along about 1963-64, I got involved in the matter of giving to missions. Amen. And there's never been a year that the Holy Ghost has said, "Oh, wait a minute, you're giving too much. I'd like for you to slow down a little bit." But it's always been a challenge to give more and to do more about reaching others with the gospel.
Amen.
And I'm saying this, I preach in churches that use the faith promise. I preach in churches who do not use the faith promise. But I'm saying to you, the important thing is that we're following God's promises. That we're doing what God said do. And so I've said before, if it's not broken, don't fix it. How important it is for us to get under the burden, realize that God expects me personally to get the gospel to every creature. Now, I cannot go across the ocean, can't go out to these various parts of the world, but I can pray, I can give, I can help others go. But it doesn't stop my responsibility of going right here. And so I want to talk a little bit about God's redeeming mission. I'm thankful for the privilege of being a servant of the Lord. Let me give you an overview of the chapter. It's a chapter of power. This full chapter, verses 1, he talks about the power of love. These devoted souls come to the sepulcher at the dawning of the resurrection morning, and the new day began in history, and it's a demonstration of the power of love. But in verse 2 through 4, there's a power of light that is there. The angelic ministry rolled the stone away, and there's the appearance of lightning light, a flame of fire, and so there is the power of light. Verse 5 and 6 is the power of life, the angelic consolation, the confirmation, he is not here, he is risen, and then instruction was given. Then there's the power of liberty, verse 7 through 8, and so the path of obedience became the path of joy for them. And by the way, I want to tell you, there is joy in serving Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you've been saved by the grace of God, there's joy in our heart. Then verse 9 and 10, there's the power of their leader. There's 26 pronouns in the chapter, and all about the risen Master. I'm glad that He lives today. He lives in my heart, and He lives in your heart if you're saved. He brought joy to them, and by the way, the results of that was they worshiped Him. They worshiped from their heart. And then again, there's the power of lying. Well, that's a negative thing. In verse 11 through 15, these are sordid verses. To the guards, the empty tomb spelt disaster. master. And so they were bribed to tell lies. And then there's the power of labor, verse 16 through 20, which I'll be dealing with this morning. The divine appointment in verse number 16. And then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. They're going where He told them to go at the right time. That divine appointment. In verse 17, the Bible said, and when they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. There is the human adoration. And in verse 18, there is divine authority. And verse 19 and 20, there's divine orders and assurances that's given. Now I want you to see in verse 16 and 17, and let me slow just a minute. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. I'm going to say, it's important that you see Him this morning. Not just a preacher, not just a church, not just your friends, but you see Him. And when you see Him, you worship Him. They had an appointment with the living Lord Jesus Christ in Galilee, and they met Him on the mountain. I'm saying, God never breaks His appointments. He never breaks His appointment with the believing company. I'm thankful that He said, draw nigh unto Me, and I'll draw nigh unto thee. In Matthew 18:20, He said, where there are two or three gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. I'm saying, thank God He's here. We're meeting to worship Him. They needed solitude with Him. And so they're meeting with Him. They were satisfied with Him. They worship Him. And He is never late for appointment. He's in time, on time, every time. I say to you, it's that time that they met with Him. Then, when He knew they needed His presence in their life. And I need it too, do you? Praise God. I'm saying they're meeting on a mountain. And number two, can I say, verse number 18, the Bible said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. They're equipped by a master whose resources are eternal. It's not you, it's the one in you. It's not the vessel, but it's what's in the vessel. I'm saying how important it is that folks see Christ in our life. As been testified this morning in the life of Brother Nelson, folks saw Christ in his life. And that's we realize this, that he was a sinner saved by the grace of God, like you're a sinner saved by the grace of God. But it was Christ in him, the hope of glory, that folks are testing about. I'm saying they were the all universal power to engage and to encourage them in service. The Lord didn't ask you to do anything alone. It's not a solo ministry. It's a duet ministry. It's Jesus and you. It's the one who lives inside you that enables you to be what you ought to be. Amen. And so this is universal power to enable and to encourage them in their service. The Apostle Paul said it in the 27th chapter of the book of Acts. He said, the Lord stood by me. He said, by the way, He's the one who I belong to, and I'm serving Him. Whose I am and whom I serve. Now, this is the secret of success. They needed the power to witness. And by the way, I'm not for this high pressure evangelism, but I'm saying to you, I think we've used that as an excuse too long. Amen. And the fact that we don't like what they're doing, so we do nothing.
That's right,
friend.
Amen.
Amen. Keep your head up, I tell you when we're going to be praying. I'm saying how important it is that, listen, and He grants us the power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come to you, and you shall be, that's the right word, be witnesses both at the same time in Jerusalem and to the all across the world. That's the enablement, the power, and it speaks of His omnipotence. I'm saying to you, He is He is all powerful. And so the first word of the gospel is go. And so we'll do what? They needed a power to witness, power to preach, and in bringing lost souls to the Savior, we must have the power of Christ upon it. I read an evangelist, a well-known evangelist, that was mighty used of God. He said he went to a certain place to preach a revival meeting, and he said, I got there, and he said, things just seemed like they're so dead. No response. He said, I preached, struggled as a priest, and he said, it was misery. Said, gave the invitation, and nobody responded. He said that was terrible. Said, I went before the Lord and said, Dear Lord, is it me? Please show me. Help me to be right so the Spirit of God will not be limited. Said, he went back on the next night and the following nights, two or three nights, the same thing. And said, he went back to prayer again. Said, Dear God, something's bad wrong in this place. Would you please show me? And he said, the Spirit of God arrested his attention and reminded him of a time when he was in Bible college. And when he cheated on his Greek test, the final exam, in order to pass, he cheated. And the Spirit of God said, you remember back then? And so he said, I was in such conviction, said I tried to call the instructor, tried to run down where he was, and said, I finally got a hold of him. And he said, here's what happened. He said, sir, on that final exam of the Greek test, in my final year of college, I cheated on the final Greek test. And he said to the instructor, said, I don't know what you got, what you need to do, but he said, anything you need to do, I'm willing to accept it. Amen. I'm willing to accept it, and I wanted to be right with God. Amen. And so he said, he went back, and the man said, I'll call you back. And so he said, I went back to my prayer closet and I prayed and asked God to help me, to tell me what to preach. And it said, seemed like the Lord said to me, it doesn't matter what you preach, just get out of the way. And so he said, I preached about 15 minutes and turned the service to the invitation, and souls flooded the aisle. Sinners got converted by the grace of God when the preacher got right with God.
Amen.
I say to you, I believe preachers ought to be right with God.
Amen.
But I believe you ought to be right with God too.
Yeah.
I would not want to stand at the beam of judgment and give an account to God as to why sinners didn't respond. And when the saints did get right with God, because I had sin in my life. Amen.
Amen.
I'm saying to you, I'm glad that Jesus has power to cleanse and forgive and restore. And it is God who works with us. If we're going to get the gospel to others,
Amen.
We must be clean vessels.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm saying to you, we blame the liberals and the modernists and the contemporary crowd, but we're eat up with it in our independent fundamental Baptist churches of folks who say one thing and do another.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
I'm saying, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Nothing wrong with the gospel.
Amen.
The problem is that there's times that we are not right. And so they were engaged by the Master whose resources are eternal. Keep that in mind as you knock a door. Keep that in mind as you pass out a tract. Keep that in mind as you try to win someone to Christ. Recognize this. We're engaged with the resources that are eternal. I'm saying again, notice in verse 19, the Bible said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They were entrusted with a message that has no equal.
Right. Amen.
Praise God. I'm telling you, you can't substitute the message.
Amen.
The message is the right message.
Right.
The message is the only message. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he got up again and ascended back to heaven and said, hey, I'm going to come again. I'm grateful. I'm saying they were entrusted with a message that has no equal. It is the Great Commission. The divine orders have not changed. We're to take the gospel to every creature. Oh, you said we can't knock doors each day. We're limited. We're restricted. I know we are. But we're not as limited and restricted as we make out like we are. The gospel is still the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so there's divine orders and they have not changed. How comprehensive. It goes to all nations. I'm saying we're to preach it to every creature. Give the message to every person. His unbounded love for the world and His unqualified knowledge of human needs makes this a missionary message. We're to do what? We're to give the gospel to others. That's a mission. Hey, we are to be a missionary at home. And so it starts right here. And we're not anything but hypocrites if we just put the money into place and think of that as being a substitute for not doing what God commanded us to do. And so we ought to put the money in the plate and do something about it at the same time. Keep going. I'm talking about this matter of the message of redemption. You see, that the substance of the message needs to be remembered and it needs to be obeyed. We need loyalty to His sufficiency. I'm saying the loyalty to His commands. Loyalty to His commission. This is a message like the gospel. There's no other message like the gospel that will transform lives. Hallelujah. I'm grateful that the gospel can transform the drunk unto a sober man. He can transform the dope addict unto a person who has a testimony for Christ. There's no limit on the power of the gospel of Christ. I'm saying to you, I'm fearful that we limit God by not obeying His commands. There's no message like the gospel for transforming lives. Notice what Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And familiar passage of scripture. But he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 2, he said, "For I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Peter writing, he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved," in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. And so they were engaged by a master whose resources were eternal. They were entrusted with a work, a message that has no equal, and that no longer, the message no longer just confirmed to Israel, but it's to the whole world. The scope includes to every creature. And then I see number 4. They were enlisted in a ministry that can never fail. Notice verse 20. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And so they're enlisted in a ministry that can never fail. This gospel never fails. Our God never fails. I'm saying all disciples identify themselves with the Lord and His followers in baptism. And so then there is the commitment to teach the truth. They're not only to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, be born again by the grace of God. They're to be baptized, an example of what took place on the inside. It's an outward demonstration. But then there's a commitment to teach truth, to teach the Word of God. We're to teach all things. Notice the verse again. He said, "Teaching them to observe how many things? All things. All things whatsoever I commanded you, and Lord, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. And so Paul carried this out effectively in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. Notice with me again, Acts chapter 20, and let's read verse 24 through 27 of Acts chapter number 20. And here's the way the Bible reads in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He said this, "But none of these things move me, neither can I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood." Are you listening? "I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." He said, "I told you the whole story." So God had given him a ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 8. And so may we never be ashamed of the message. Thank God for the message. I'm glad for the message. I praise Him for the message. Obeying Christ's word to us is so important. as touching Christ's work for us. Yes. We're obeying Christ's word. And then conversion, his own conversion to his way. In the book of Matthew 18:3, we're converted. And we must be followed by a conformity to the will of God. Amen. I know some folks today that they battle about the will of God. I tell you, God wants you to know his will. But you're not going to know his will apart from this book. And you're not going to know his will apart from the Holy Spirit. And so I read the Word of God. I'm saying, Lord, teach me to do that. You can't do the will of God until you know the will of God. And it's the will of God that all sinners be saved. And it's the will of God for those who are saved to serve our God. And so I see in verse number, the last part of verse 20, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And so they were encouraged by a master who will never forsake them. Praise God. I'm glad he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. And so it speaks of his omnipresence, the promise of unceasing fellowship. Lo, I am with you always. Amen. I'm grateful that even though there's times that I do not sense his presence and I do not feel his presence, it doesn't change anything. He's still with me. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. This is a guarantee of the daily strength for suffering and for service. And so his living, guiding, and abiding presence in my life. And with that promise, the early church marched out to win the world to Christ. Amen. Knowing him to be right by their side. Amen. And he's with us, church. I want to say, may we rejoice. Christ lives today. Oh, yes. Yesterday, today, yes. Forever. Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. I'm grateful. We recognize that you have a Lord to serve. He is the victorious conqueror. And we have all nations to reach. We're to get the gospel to every creature. I remember sitting in a chapel service, Tennessee Temple Schools, years and years ago. And the man of God stood up and preached, and God burned indelibly in my heart of having a personal responsibility to get the gospel to every creature. Amen. What a tremendous task. What a tremendous task. Amen. But it's a word to be obeyed. Yes. We're to obey. And this fact to the believer, Jesus said, I'm not asking you to do it by yourself. Amen. He said, I am with you. Yes. This book opens with an announcement that his name will be called Emmanuel. Amen. God with us. And the resurrection confirmed the reality of his presence always in us. It is a redeeming message. We're to sow the seed. We're to give out the word of God. We're not to let sinners die and go to hell. Many of my preacher friends have graduated to heaven in the last year. Folks that I knew close, some that I didn't know quite as close as others. I was thinking yesterday how the gatekeeper in heaven has been pretty busy lately, swinging wide the gates. And saints are coming home. Can I tell you that you don't know how much time you have left?
Amen.
And I don't know how much time I have left. But the time I do have left, I want it to count for God. I certainly want to take somebody else with me to glory. That's God's redeeming mission and his promised presence in our life. I know this, not everyone you talk to is going to get saved. But there'll be some. There'll be some. Don't give up. Don't fall back. Don't fall out.
Amen.
Don't fall in.
That's right.
Stand fast.
Yes.
in obedience. Do you know somebody this morning that's without Christ, without hope, without God?
Amen.
Have we prayed for them?
Amen.
Have we witnessed to them? Have we made it an effort to point them to the Lamb of God?
Amen.
That takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
He's able to save to the uttermost. May God forgive us for our lack of diligence in getting the gospel to others. I'm fearful that we've allowed our giving, and I'm for giving. I challenge folk to give.
Yes. Sure.
But we've allowed our giving and support of missionaries to become a substitute for our personal responsibility of getting the gospel to others. Pastor.
You can stand, if you would, please. Stand to your feet and bow your head just a moment. Brother Reed and Miss Jessica is going to come. We'll have a moment of invitation. And I'm convinced more and more, you know, I heard today that Twitter now has banned Focus on the Family because they have spoken out in hate speech against transgender stuff, saying a man's a man. That's where they were going all along with this, church. And I thought they could take us off of Facebook. They can cut us off of Twitter, Brother Brian, and whatever else is out there. I don't know what else is out there, but they can cut us all the platforms off. And the Word of God is not mine. He said, all power is given unto me. They say, well, there's no point. They're cutting us off of this. They're cutting us off of that. Are you going to rule God out? God still got the power. We can turn this world upside down without Twitter. I don't need Twitter.